KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies, 78 degrees in Atlantic. We're looking for a chance of showers and thunderstorms this morning, a better chance this afternoon here in the Atlantic area. A high of 92 with a heat index approaching 105 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. A heat advisory will be in effect from 1 until 8 p.m. this evening. And a flash flood watch will be in effect for a portion of the listing area, including Cass County, beginning at 7 p.m. tonight and running through 7 a.m. Friday. In Western Iowa news, Council Bluffs police arrested a man on eluding, reckless driving, and OWI first offense charges following a pursuit that began at around 12:30 this morning. 39-year-old David Langan of Council Bluffs was arrested after the vehicle he was driving became stuck as he tried to drive through a median. The incident began when officers initiated a pursuit on a vehicle after it nearly struck a police cruiser and was driving erratic in the area of North 16th Street and Avenue F in Council Bluffs. Officials say Langan was suspected of being intoxicated. He failed to yield for officers and continued north on North 16th Street onto Interstate 29 North, where the vehicle attempted to drive through the median and, as I mentioned, got stuck. Langan was booked into the Pottawatomie County Jail on the charges mentioned. Other than damage done to the suspect's vehicle upon attempting to drive through the median, no injuries or property damage are believed to have occurred. Well, the Atlantic School Board will leave it up to the administrators for each of the district's schools to determine what their cell phone policies for students will be. Discussion on the subject lasted about 15 minutes Wednesday evening. The decision not to have a blanket policy for all the district's buildings, they said, is really not necessary for several reasons. Among them, each school in the district already has a handbook spelling out the policy for students and how those policies will be enforced. Schuler principal James Northwick was the first to offer his opinion on the matter.
I just feel like as we're thinking about cell phone policies and we have one-to-one computers, I question what are kids going to do on a computer that they can't do on a cell phone or vice versa.
Especially on the Apple too, though. I mean, you can text from your Apple computer.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, if we take phones away, your computer can do everything that your phone could do and probably more. And I guess that's the thing that I worry about is if we do that, we might as well take these away. If we're going to take computers away, then we're taking a huge step back.
School Board President Josh McLaren, who's also a Cass County Sheriff's deputy, said policing cell phones would be as fruitless as trying to stop everyone who travels more than 55 miles per hour on Highway 6 between Atlantic and Wyota.
If I stop everybody that's going more than 55 miles an hour, I'm not going to make it to Wyota before my 10-hour shift is over. So what I do is I kind of throw that back to, I think if we go to absolutely none, not in the school, not at all, I think we're going to take away all these people's whatever they're doing in their normal day, and I think we're going to be cell phone cops. I get it that it's probably the distractions and all that stuff. I'm sure it's there, but I'm sure that there's a way that we can work out. Maybe it's better enforcement or better whatever it is to keep them out of the classroom, but I don't think this board member can support shutting them off at the door.
Board member Christy Pellett, speaking with regard to students' personal responsibility, said she's concerned if the student's phone is taken away for 8 hours a day, the first thing they'll do when they get in their vehicles is to be looking at and sending text messages while they're driving.
What this policy does, having different policies for the high school and the middle school, is you have a graduated system, similar to our graduated licensing system. We don't give them all the responsibilities at once. We build on that. And I think that's appropriate for the development of our youth. Allowing our administrators to set up a policy that works for their building is what's important.
She says it needs to be made clear at the beginning of the school year that cell phones are not to be used in classroom for anything other than teacher-approved educational purposes. None of the high school teachers, she said, have ever mentioned that cell phones are a problem in the classroom. Assistant High School Principal Matt Alexander said the number of student referrals to the high school principal's office for unauthorized electronics use in the classroom has been declining over the past 6 years.
We've gone from 127 referrals 6 years ago for electronic devices to 49 from 2010 to 2016, and that's gone from involving anywhere from 101 students to last year that involved 38 students in the high school building that were trouble for electronic device violations. You know, there's one side of the coin that says, well, teachers are giving up on enforcing it. There's also the other side that says, kids are becoming more responsible because we're teaching them. And I'd like to believe, be optimistic that we are improving. Is there more room to improve? Absolutely. And that's what Mrs. McKay and I will strive to do this year.
and school board member Dr. Keith Swanson summed up the consensus opinion of the board.
I get the feeling that the board wants to leave this up to the administrators, for the administrators to make a rule for their school to say what's going on in their school and then enforce it.
In the funeral announcements, Kenneth Gebby, age 69, of Dexter, died Sunday at Cavanaugh House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Kenneth Gebby will be today at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter. Esther Day, age 99, of Avoca, died Monday. A massive Christian burial for Esther Day will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. The Reverend Judy Ann Campbell Piper, age 68, of Sioux City, died August the 4th. Funeral services for Reverend Judy Piper will be held on Friday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Christy Mills, age 52, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Christy Mills will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Evangelical Free Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Charles Harmon Jr., age 36, died Sunday. The family of Charles Harmon Jr. will receive friends on Friday from 4 until 6 p.m. at the Bel Air Chapel of the Heafy Heafy Hoppin Dworick and Cutler Funeral Home in Omaha with a vigil at 6 p.m. Ann Levis Nielsen, age 68, of Waverly and formerly of Audubon, died August the 4th in Waverly. A celebration of life memorial service for Ann Nielsen will be on Saturday at 1 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. And Earl Gutenfelder Jr., age 73, of Atlantic, died Monday. Cremation has taken place and no services are planned for Earl Gutenfelder Jr. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.